Okay. Name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today is December 28th, year 2008. It's a feast day of Holy Innocence, and it's also the Sunday within the octave of Christmas. And the Mass we're celebrating today is the feast day of the Holy Innocence. And again, we're going to talk about the Book of the Apocalypse and continue on with this series. And I invoke the special help of the Holy Infant Jesus to go before me and to inspire me and to be able to reveal these mysteries in the Book of the Apocalypse. And of course, the Mother of God, who brought, without her, we wouldn't have the Holy Infant Jesus. And I also especially invoke St. John, who wrote the Book of the Apocalypse, inspired by God, and St. Daniel also, who spoke about these final days, and all the other prophets like St. Joel and Isaiah, and he also wrote about these final days. And so I ask the special help of the Holy Infant Jesus to inspire me to be able to speak correctly and on these Book of the Apocalypse and all these final day events, and as it relates especially to these final days we're living in. And I just remind the people that when he comes the second time, he's not coming as an infant. He's coming as Christ the King, to destroy and burn up all the wicked from the face of the earth. Okay, now we're going to go into, and we're going to talk about Daniel chapter 7. And I'll give you a brief overview and then we're going to read it. Daniel in here also talks about, you remember in Apocalypse 17, it spoke about seven successive kingdoms. Evil kingdoms in the history of mankind, in which there's an antichrist and there's a harlot. Until we get to the harlot and to the final antichrist, which is represented in the harlot comes about in the seventh kingdom, and the antichrist in this eighth kingdom, which is of the seventh. We spoke about that before. The final kingdom is the one that's bringing the antichrist directly to power, and the harlot, the harlot is, which is the United States, Freemasonic United States of America, is the, which I have no doubt will even be ruled by a harlot, a woman president at this time, who you can even say then is the harlot. But the Freemasonic United States is the harlot. But she's bringing to get power the Antichrist, which in Apocalypse 17 is referred to as the eighth kingdom, which comes of the seventh. All right. Now, Daniel sees four kingdoms from the time he's from where he is. You know, he's not going backwards to the Egyptian kingdom, so it all fits in. And he talks about four successive kingdoms, Daniel. And he was writing this when he was under Babylonian rule, because Daniel also was under Persian rule. He went from the Babylonian to the Persian rule. But he had this vision in Daniel 7 when Balthasar was king of Babylon. And he sees four successive kingdoms after that, which is the Persian, the Grecian, the Roman. And when he sees the Roman kingdom, he's looking at that pagan Roman kingdom, which then becomes dominated by the Talmudic Jews when they crucify and deny Christ. He sees that whole kingdom going up to the sixth trumpet period of time that we already spoke about, when the steel beast, modern warfare, takes place. When you have that other beast that's needed, which ultimately is the United States to bring the first beast to power. When the beloved St. John sees modern warfare. And he calls that sixth trumpet kingdom that starts around 1846, 1847. The prophet Daniel sees that as a steel iron beast himself. He sees modern warfare. Daniel sees this. And he talks about this beast as having 10 horns. Right? And he also talks, and he gives us a little more information about what goes on with the 10 horns. So he first talks about, and he speaks about this, and first he sees the vision. Then he says, I do not understand it. Then the angel Gabriel comes down and explains it to him. So you can see it in two different parts. And Gabriel, and it's also, this is absolutely, I think it's unanimous consensus to the fathers. It's definitely all final day stuff happening here. All right, and you'll read it when it goes. We'll read as we go on. You're going to read about the four successive kingdoms. You're going to read about the kingdom of the Antichrist, which is like a steel beast in modern warfare that has 10 kings ruling. But right when these 10 kings destroy the harlot, as we already spoke about, he directs these 10 kings to destroy the harlot, then Antichrist comes to power. But when he comes to power, we learn another thing. He usurps three of these kings. He kills three of these kings. Murder, kills them, and then he comes to power, and so he lays low three of them. Now, laying low, I said if these 10 kings are literally 10 kings, which it might be, because they already have plans to divide this world up into 10 parts, then it's 10 kings literally. But if not, and it's just a great number of kings, that three represents approximately one-third of the kings are going to be destroyed by the Antichrist that he used to do his dirty work. It could be somebody, I won't even mention the nations yet, I'll get into that later. But Daniel tells us a little more information about these 10 kings after they destroy the harlot. And then we read in Daniel also about the destruction of the Antichrist's kingdom. Then we read about all the wicked that are killed and sent to hell 15 days before Christ lands on the earth. And then we learn about the second coming of Jesus Christ and his everlasting kingdom, all in Daniel 7, which parallels the beloved St. John's prophecies in the book of the Apocalypse. But we'll just start off by reading it. Now, Daniel 7, 1-7 is talking about the four successive kingdoms and 15-18. In the first year of Belteshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel saw a dream, and the vision of his head was upon his bed. And writing the dream, he comprehended it in a few words, and relating the sum of it, in short, he said, I saw my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heavens strove upon the great seas, and four great beasts, different one from another, came up out of the sea. The first was like a lioness and had wings of an eagle. I beheld till her wings were plucked off, and she was lifted up from the earth and stood upon her feet as a man, and the heart of a man was given to her. And behold, another beast, like a bear, stood up on one side, and there were three rows in the mouth thereof, and in the teeth thereof. And thus they said to it, Arise, devour much flesh. After this I beheld, and lo, another, like a leopard, and it had upon it four wings as of a fowl, and the beast had four heads, and power was given to it. After this I beheld in a vision of the night, and lo, a fourth beast, terrible and wonderful and exceedingly strong. He doesn't mean wonderful in a good way. It had great iron teeth, eating and breaking in pieces and treading down the rest with its feet, and was unlike to the other beasts which I had seen before. And it had 10 horns. Now, my point is, you can argue about whether I was correct about saying Persian, Grecian, Roman, 6 trumpet period of time. Some people say he's seen Babylon there too, representing Nebuchadnezzar, who was a beast and a man. And that's very possible. The main thing I want to concentrate on is the fourth beast. And then Gabriel, when he gives the explanation, only talks about the fourth beast. That's certain. We know what that fourth beast is. That's unanimous consensus of church fathers. No other interpretation. The fourth beast is the reign of the Antichrist. And previous to the reign, the harlot who's bringing him to power and his reign. That's the fourth beast. That's fact. You can argue whether those three successive kingdoms were the Babylonian, and he mixed the Babylonian with the Persian, and the Grecian came up and the Roman. You can argue on that stuff. But there's no argument about the fourth kingdom. We're going to read about it. That's fact. That part is... the fourth kingdom is the kingdom of the final Antichrist. And the 10 horns are the 10 kings that are serving with him. 3 of which are usurps. You're going to learn about that. Now we're going to read about... Now Gabriel's explaining it to him, 15:18. He's going on and still seeing this. 15 and 18 again. Let's see. My spirit trembled. I, Daniel, was frightened at these things. And the visions of my head troubled me. I went near to one of them that stood by. Now, okay, he doesn't say Gabriel. It could be one of somebody else in heaven that was speaking this to him. I went to one of them that stood nearby and asked the truth of him concerning all these things, and he told me the interpretation of the words and instructed me. Usually it's Gabriel that does this instructing, but here he doesn't mention Gabriel. But somebody, one of the heavenly, it's either an angel or a saint in heaven. No, there's no saints in heaven then. Okay, so it's either Gabriel or some other angel explaining his vision to him. And it says... And he instructed me, These four beasts are four kingdoms which shall arise out of the earth, but the saints of the Most High God shall take the kingdom, and they shall possess the kingdom forever and ever. He's also telling at the end of all this, when the Antichrist, the fourth kingdom's over, the saints are ultimately going to dominate, and they're going to conquer all kingdoms, Christ's kingdom, and that kingdom will last forever. So he's giving them, don't worry, Daniel, in the end, the saints triumph, they conquer, and they have a final kingdom forever. He's already given a little thing on this. Now, we're going to read about the Antichrist kingdom, more about it, the steel beast, which also represents modern warfare, in Daniel 7-8 and 19-25. We'll start out with 7-8. And after this I beheld in a vision in the night, and lo, a fourth beast, terrible and wonderful and exceedingly strong. Keep going. And it had iron teeth, eating and breaking in pieces and treading down the rest of its feet. Iron teeth, tanks, helicopters, modern warfare. And it was unlike the other beasts which I had seen before. And it had 10 horns. Here's the 10 horns the beloved St. John sees in Apocalypse 17. And I considered the horns, and behold, another little horn sprung out of the midst of them, and 3 of the first horns were plucked up at the presence thereof. And behold, eyes like the eyes of a man were in this horn, and a mouth speaking great things. Now, you'll go on to read it, and this is unanimous consensus that church follow. This horn is the Antichrist. You'll see as we go on. And so now we know another thing about these ten kings, that they're going to still be there, and he's going to use them to destroy the harlot, which is the United States, and also Rome, which is an extension of the harlot, and other selected targets. And then when he's done using these ten kings, three of them, or one third of them, depending if it's a literal ten or not literal, are going to be destroyed by the Antichrist when he comes to power and rules in Jerusalem, which is going to be right after that. So he's going to also turn around and kill three of these kings, or one third of them. Daniel's now telling us three were plucked up. And we read about this again in verse 19 to 25. After this I would diligently learn concerning the fourth beast, which was very different from all, and exceedingly terrible. His teeth and claws were of iron. He devoured in broken pieces, and the rest he stamped upon with his feet. And concerning the ten horns that he had on his head, and concerning the other that came up, before which the three horns fell, the Antichrist, and that horn that had eyes and a mouth speaking great things, and was greater than all the rest, the Antichrist. And I beheld, and lo, the horn made war against the saints and prevailed over them. That's Apocalypse chapter 13, where it says it was given the Antichrist power to make war. Well, go to chapter 13. Daniel's saying this. And this horn, the Antichrist, it was given him to make war against the saints and prevailed over them. Okay? And we'll read this. Okay? Apocalypse chapter 13, when we read about the Antichrist coming to power, it said, we start out Apocalypse 13, verse 5, and there was given to him, the Antichrist, the mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power is given him 2 and 40 months to do, 3.5 years. And he opened his mouth unto blasphemies against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. Daniel says over here, this horn, right here we're reading about, and the horn that had eyes and a mouth speaking great things was greater than the rest, the Antichrist. And behold, and lo, that horn made war against the saints and prevailed over them, till the Ancient of Days came and gave judgment to the saints of the Most High. And the time came, and the saints obtained the kingdom. He rules until Christ finally comes, the Ancient of Days, Jesus Christ, and conquers his kingdom and gives the everlasting kingdom to Christ and the saints. And it says, till Ancient of Days came and gave judgment to the saints and of the Most High. And this judgment's already taken place when the Valley of Jehoshaphat, as we just said, when the Antichrist and false prophet are already killed, they get defeated in Armageddon first. False prophet Antichrist gets killed, and then Christ's earthly army, with the assistance of his heavenly army, is now already wiping up and killing all these evildoers. They're prevailing. And then when they're gone, then you have the everlasting kingdom of the saints. And it says, and thus he said, the fourth beast shall be a fourth kingdom upon earth, which shall be greater than all the kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, the whole earth. He was given the dominant oath, and he shall tread it down and break it in pieces. And the ten horns of the same kingdom shall be ten kings of that kingdom, ruling with the Antichrist. And another shall rise up after them, and he shall be mightier than the former, and he shall bring down three kings. So right after that, those ten kings arise, because the Antichrist is still in the background. He's not showing himself. He's not visibly reigning yet. He's directing these ten kings. Then he comes out, knocks out three, and takes over the supreme. He already is supreme in the background, but now it's visible, and he's reigning in Jerusalem. And it says, now here he is. He knocks out one third of these kings, or three of these kings, and he's reigning. And it says, and he shall speak words against the High One, and he shall crush the saints of the Most High. That's Apocalypse 13. Yeah. He shall speak blasphemies against God, and he shall crush the saints. And he shall think himself able to change times and laws, and they shall be delivered into his hand until a time and a times and a half time. There we go. Again, the 3.5 year reign of the Antichrist. He's telling Daniel, this beast is going to have power for 3.5 years. A time, 1 year. A times, 2 years. And a half time, half a year. Added together is 3.5 years. It's mentioned in the book of Apocalypse 13 is 42 months. 3.5 years. You keep getting this. Yeah. Okay. Where was it there? Oh, there it is. Yeah. Hey, that's in a different place. Oh, he's got a different Bible over here. Not a different Bible, same one, different pages. Yeah, see? It says, and it was given him, Apocalypse 13 of 5 again, and it was given him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and powers given him to do 2 and 40 months. And now, he's telling Daniel times and half the time, see? And he's saying that he blasphemes God. This is the description of the Antichrist and his reign, or 1260 days. Then we go on, right after reading about his reign here, we read about the general judgment and that the beast was slain already. And verse Daniel 7, 9 to 12. And it says, now Daniel, after he sees this beast and they tell him he's going to reign for a time and time, times and a half time, he's going on to say, I beheld till thrones were placed, and the Ancient of Days sat, and his garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like clean wool, his throne like flames of fire, the wheels of it like a burning fire. This is the description that the prophet Ezekiel saw when he was looking upon God in heaven. Daniel's seeing the same thing. He's seeing God on his throne in heaven with fire proceeding from his loins. A swift stream of fire issued forth from him. Thousands of thousands ministered to him, Almighty God. And 10,000 times 100,000 stood before him. The judgment sat and the books were opened. Alright? And he's saying, now you're talking about the general judgment here. The books were opened. Jesus is at the Valley of Jehoshaphat already. He's doing the general judgment. And look what he says here. I beheld because the voice of the great words which that horn spoke, the Antichrist, and I saw that the beast was slain. He was already slain and gone. And the body thereof was destroyed and given to the fire to be burnt. So he's saying when that already happened, the Antichrist is already dead. He's slain. He was given to the fire to be burnt. The beloved St. John sees the Antichrist and the false prophet in two places or three in the book of the Apocalypse being thrown alive into the fires, being burnt. Here's a prophet Daniel telling you. I beheld because the voice of the great words of that horn spoke, the Antichrist, and I saw that the beast, the Antichrist, was slain, and that the body thereof was destroyed and given to the fire to be burnt. And that power of the other beasts was taken away, and that times of life were appointed to them for a time in a time. Now, we spoke about that the other day. I just briefly mentioned that. After the Antichrist is destroyed and the false prophet, his kings are then totally demoralized. They're already defeated, but totally demoralized and scattered. But they're not killed. God does not kill them. He lets them live for a time in a time. And that's that time here means, a time in a time means 2 months, 60 days. It's 30-day allotments for a time. A time and a time. I spoke about that the other day. I don't want to get too much into detail into that. You can listen to it and see how it fits perfectly. All right, Daniel's saying here, he says, and that the power of the other beast was taken away, and that times of life were appointed them from a time and a time. From the time their power was taken away, and their power was taken away when the Antichrist reign ended. When he ran out of Jerusalem after 1260 days and they were defeated at Armageddon. So that was at the end of the 1260 days reign. That's when the power was taken away of these other kings. Their boss was sent in and ran away, all right? They were defeated at Armageddon and their power was taken away. The prophet Daniel sees them still, he says, there's still going to be wicked people around though, because God allows these wicked people to still live for a time and a time, which represents 2 months or 60 days. So then we know for certain that at the end of that time and a time, which is 60 days, they will no longer have time of life. They will no longer be allowed to live. They will then all have been killed and sent down into hell at the end of 60 days. All right, and we also know from the other prophecies, what we were saying also, they will, out of those 60 days, they're going to have 33 days to repent. They're going to have all the way up until the end of the 3 days of darkness to repent. So that means if they haven't repented by then, there's 27 days left to the end of those 60 days. That means that the mop-up job, when the wicked are being killed, and there's no longer time to repent, is going to last for 27 days. That ends on the 60th day. And then we have 15 more days till Christ lands on earth, and that fulfills Daniel's prophecy about the whole thing's wrapped up in 1335 days, from the beginning of the reign of the Antichrist to the end. So this, it fits perfectly. I mentioned it in my other sermons, and we'll have charts put up so you can see how this thing works out. Now, we're going to go into what Daniel talks about now in the same chapter 7, verse 26 to 28. He now talks about the second coming of Jesus Christ and his everlasting kingdom. He talks about it in verses 13 through 14 and in verses 26 to 28. I beheld therefore in the vision of the night, and lo, One like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and he came even to the Ancient of Days, and they presented it before him. Here he is, coming on the clouds. Here he is. Matthew 24:27, the coming of the Son of Man shall be like lightning coming from the east, coming out of the east onto the west. He's now looking at, after the three, Daniel's now seeing what happens after those 3 days of darkness. He's seen, everyone looks upon the Son of Man, and he's coming from the east to the west with his army. Daniel's seeing this. He says, "And I beheld therefore in the vision of the night, and lo, one like the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, coming with the clouds of heaven. And he came even to the Ancient of Days, and they presented him before him. And he gave him power and glory in a kingdom," Jesus Christ's kingdom, "and all peoples, tribes, and tongues shall serve him. His power is an everlasting power and shall not be taken away, and his kingdom that shall not be destroyed." This is how we know now. This is when we know it's not referring to the Antichrist, because he was given power over people, nation, tribe, and tongue, but his kingdom was not an everlasting kingdom. His kingdom was taken away in 3.5 years. And there's several beautiful things happening here. This is why the Jews are trying to dupe you. The Talmudic Jews and the Zionist Jews are trying to make you think their Antichrist is going to bring an everlasting kingdom. I'm warning you people, don't follow these guys. He's not bringing the everlasting kingdom. His kingdom is going to last for a measly 3.5 years, and then comes the true everlasting kingdom, which Daniel's looking at here. He's saying, now at that time, which represents what we were talking about, what Bruce was saying the other day. Now he says, this kingdom, because he's still in the heavens, all the peoples, tribes, and tongues will worship him. So when he lands upon the earth, for those 15 days, those last 15 days before Christ lands on earth, all that's left is the elect. Catholics in a state of grace, Jews and Gentiles. Catholic Jews and Catholic Gentiles in a state of grace. From different, all different nations, waiting for Christ to come. And then when he reestablishes, is of course the everlasting kingdom, when he comes and the new Jerusalem comes down and the new paradise, it's an everlasting kingdom. All right? And it says, and he sees the same thing in verse 26 to 28. "And a judgment shall sit, and his, that his power may be taken away." This is the Antichrist, this fourth kingdom. And he says, "And a judgment shall sit, and his power may be taken away and be broken in pieces and perish even to the end." Now he's talking about the destruction and the end of the Antichrist kingdom. "And that the kingdom and power and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven may be given to the people of the saints and of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all kings shall serve him and shall obey him. Hitherto is the end of the word. I, Daniel, with much trouble with my thoughts, and my countenance was changed into me, but I kept the word in my heart." So now he's talking about after that kingdom is destroyed, he then sees Christ's everlasting kingdom coming down upon the earth. And he says, all kings will serve him, all people will obey him. That's your Catholic, that's your true utopia, which is the Catholic world that only Christ the King can really bring. And so now we see the whole process and how this comes about. That when Christ finally does land upon the earth as the conquering king, there's nobody left on earth but all those who will serve and obey him. He already purified it, especially in that 27-day period of time when he's wiping off all the wicked. But he's merciful too, because think about it. Even after the end of the reign of the Antichrist, when the power of these kings that they had and all those that were following the interest can now see that their rulers, they're defeated. They're defeated. Their leader was a phony. They're following a false guy. They're false. They've been wrong. Wake up, folks. Repent. They have time, not only 30 days after, but even 3 more days into the darkness. So anybody who's listening to my sermon now, this could be a cause of their conversion when that happens. But I'll tell you one thing. Once that darkness hits, you've got 3 more days. Once the Christ comes into heaven and appears, you're doomed.
And Lord, just reminded me that 33 days signifies the 33 years that Christ
lived. Oh, that's interesting. I didn't even think about that. The 30, that's right. Yeah.
So they have one day for each day, each year that Christ lived on
the earth. They have one day
to finally repent.
Yeah, brother, Sister Laura Gott just brought up a good point. She's saying that it's interesting because they have 33 days to repent. One day each for Christ when he was upon the face of the earth. And boy, that's plenty for anybody. After that, if you don't repent, you don't deserve to convert and repent. You don't. And then God goes out and tells his angels, now before I appear in heaven, and my army comes with me, and the stars fall, and burn up the earth, and I believe, like I was saying, that these stars are also going to swallow up the islands, because when they hit the ocean, it's going to fill up, swallow up the islands. These stars are going to be hitting mountains, like and knocking down the mountains, because they flee at the face of our Lord God. When that starts happening, it's already too late. But he tells the angels to go and mark the people by then. And that purification process takes place for 27 days. You know, and after the false prophet is, an antichrist and false prophet is killed, then Christ assumes the kingdom. There is no longer any other king to oppose him on earth. It's done. You know, it's a cleanup job. So we see in Daniel 7, we're talking about four successive kingdoms. We're mostly concerned about this fourth kingdom, which clearly is the kingdom of the reign of the Antichrist. We see that previous to coming to power, he uses these ten kings to destroy the harlot. He usurps three kings or one third of them. All right, when he comes to power, we see that he speaks blasphemies. His reign is 3.5 years. He crushes the saints and makes war against them, ultimately to the point where he arrests the two witnesses and then he kills them, murders them, martyrs them. That's when he's at the height of his pride and arrogancy. And they got great confidence that his armies are already gathered at Armageddon in the Valley of Jehoshaphat, getting ready to make war with Christ's earthly armies from the kings of the east. We'll mention about that later. And getting ready to make war with Christ's earthly army and heavenly army, both. Because it gives him great confidence, the Antichrist, that he can beat Christ himself even in his heavenly army. He really thinks he could. Because he says, I got the witnesses. I murdered them. They're laying in the street. You ain't nothing. I'm going to not only beat your earthly arm, I'm going to beat you up. The Antichrist believes that because he's serving the devil. The devil knows it's false. He's dead already. So the dragon, who is a devil, knows it's a dope. But the Antichrist really, really believes he's got power to beat the Christ. He has to anyway, because he believes, he really does believe he is the Christ. The Antichrist, by the way, folks, really believes he's going to bring the everlasting kingdom. He does believe that. Listen to the Jews. They believe they're bringing their Talmudic Zionist Jewish utopia to the world by their Antichrist. And when he sees the two witnesses murdered, when he murders them, he lays them in the street, he's going to say, what happened to your God? My God, Satan. And Antichrist does have a God, they say. And it is Satan. He knows. He gets the orders from Satan. And Satan tells him, I am the true God. See how weak that Christ is? Go get him. You know. So the Antichrist is bold enough to attack not just his earthly army, but even Christ's heavenly army. All right. And then he gets defeated at Armageddon at the same time when the two witnesses are being resurrected, which is 3 days later. As I said before, pride goeth before destruction, his spirit is lifted up before the fall. Proverbs 16, I think, 18. I think that's the verse. So that's when the Antichrist and the kings that serve him are at their height of arrogance. The whole world is passing presents around. We got rid of these two bums. These two witnesses were tormenting us. They were causing us nothing but trouble. We are the real kingdom. We are the true kingdom. These guys that said they were the true Catholics and restoring true Catholicism, they were phony too. Now we got them out of the way. All this stuff's going on for 3 days. I think it said 3 days or 3.5 days.
3.5.
It said 3.5 days, yeah. All this is going on. And then all of a sudden, bang, the witnesses are resurrected. The earthquake comes. It says first lightnings come, then thunder and the earthquake at the same time. Jerusalem split in three, 7,000 citizens die in Jerusalem, and it says this, and within 1 hour after the witnesses are resurrected, and they're all looking on this, they're going, uh-oh, we're in big trouble, and Jews convert. Oh, yes, they do. We don't know how many convert in Jerusalem at that time, but it says, and those who survived gave glory to the Catholic God. And then it's probably like a military thing, coup, it's like a coup. Then they go after you're false, the Antichrist, you're a liar. Get out of here. You know, he runs. He hightails it out of there. And he's gone with the false prophet. They grab him 30 days later and kill him. But at the same time that he's gone out of there, what happens generally when the king is killed in an army, totally the whole army goes into disarray. But that's not all that's happening. There's an earthquake that takes place. The home base is being destroyed. There's other signs and wonders from the heavenly army helping the earthly army defeat at Armageddon. They put up some type of a fight, but they lose and they get routed at Armageddon, the Valley of Jehoshaphat. And they go out and they scatter because they no longer have that power. And that's when the prophet Daniel, at the end of the reign, when their power was taken away, he says, God will give you a time and a time of life. 30 days and 30 days. Because everything we're talking about here relates to days. 1260 days, the prophet Daniel says that everything's wrapped up in 1335 days. That's when everybody is so blessed is he who cometh in the name of the Lord. That's when Christ lands upon earth. That 1335 days is literal, just like the 1260. It's in the same passages. It doesn't mean you can't take those 1335 days and turn it into 100 years or 20 years or 50 years. It's literal 1335 because the 1260 is literal, the 1290 is literal, the 42 months is literal, and the time times and a half. That's how we know what that means because of the 42 months and the 1260. So we know it's wrapped up. from the time that the two witnesses are resurrected, you have 75 more days till Christ lands on earth. That's fact. Because if you're going to misinterpret the 1335 into hundreds of years, then you're going to say the reign of the Antichrist, which is 1260 days, is hundreds of years. That, Brother Bruce was bringing that point up too, about how the days works to the days. You see what I mean? So everything's coming together very perfectly, folks. We're telling you things to warn you ahead of time what's going on. And I'll just end up by telling you, if we had a Catholic hierarchy intact, there would be no need of the two witnesses. That you, if we had Catholic priests saying Mass, they would be the ones that we'd have to go to and be down, and we don't have any. What's the purpose? God always, when God's people went bad, down almost to the last man, he always sent prophets to return the kingdom and to restore it. This is what's happening these days. And everything I'm teaching is purely Catholic dogma. I don't deviate from any dogmas. I support the papacy. I believe in the popes as far as their power, given them as real popes. But I also understand that popes are not impeccable, that you can have wicked, rotten, lousy, stinky popes. And we've had them, folks, just like the religious leaders in the Old Covenant era. And because I attack wicked, lousy popes does not mean I deny the papacy. I don't. I'm the only one defending it. If you don't say what I speak like, you're not defending the papacy, you're scarring it. You're marring it. And you're ruining the reputation of the church. If you think that everything these wicked popes did was good when they did many bad things, then you're saying the church herself did bad. The only time the church is protected with this charism of infallibility is when he speaks infallibly on faith and morals based upon revelations given to the original apostles, and he invokes that charism. Other than that, the Pope can commit any sin that any other man could. So the true Catholic Church and faith is being defended by me. I'm defending all the dogmas as taught infallibly by all the popes, and I'm exposing all these wicked popes and rotten theologians. You wouldn't have a need of two witnesses if you had a hierarchy intact. Jesus Christ would have said in Luke 18:8, when the Son of Man cometh, do you think he'll find faith on earth? He wouldn't have said it's going to be like in the days of Noah, when there were only 8 faithful. So listen to what I'm telling you here now. I will defeat anybody if they want to try to debate me when it comes to Catholic dogmas. I not only believe in them, I profess them, and I enforce them. And anybody who violates them, he gets the anathema. And he gets denounced as a heretic. He is avoided until he makes reparation and does abjuration. All right? So we'll end with that particular thing in mind. And I tell all the other people in the world, do not wait. Let today be your time of salvation. The longer you wait, the harder it's going to be for you to repent. You may not come out of all of this. Let's get in here even before the reign of the Antichrist. Because who knows? God knows, but I don't know what's going to happen to you if you wait too long. But I know what's going to happen to a lot of you, because it is in Scripture. A lot of you are going to follow the Antichrist and never get out, because only few are saved. Even in the end, when the people are repentant, it's going to be very few. And if you're in the midst of that reign and you took the mark of the beast, you're in deep. You can still come out. Don't despair. But after the 3 days of darkness, once that darkness comes, you only got 3 more days. But I don't even wait till then. Because the longer you wait, and if you heard my word now and you don't listen to it, that may be the last grace God's going to give you. If you heard this sermon right now and you don't listen to what I'm telling you, God could pull his grace away and you're going to go lock, stock, and barrel into the Antichrist camp, and he will not give you another grace. Don't spurn it. Don't turn away from the truth, even though it's scaring you maybe, or it's hard for you to believe in. You need to obey all of God's commandments. Jesus said that in Matthew 19:17. If thou wilt enter into life, keep my commandments, which refutes the Protestant heresy of salvation by faith alone. And he didn't say keep one of them. He didn't say keep two of them. He didn't say keep three of them. He said keep all of them. And if you mortally violate any one of them, you're in hell. You're damned. You're in damnation. And the first 3 commandments demand you to be demands you to become Catholic, a true Catholic, because you can only, the true God is the Catholic God. And I'll end it again by what I've been saying through all these sermons. He's not, and I said in the beginning even again, he's not the Protestant God. He's not the Talmudic Jewish God. He's not the Muslim God. He's not the Greek schismatic God. He's not the Russian Orthodox God. These are all false Christ, false gods. There's only one God. It's the Catholic God and the Catholic Church. And it's only being taught in one place that I know of on this whole earth, and it's emanating from St. John the Baptist's website. It's God's will. You're going to read in Apocalypse chapter 11, where we're not going to go, we're going to do that as we go on, where the witnesses are gathered together, and Pastor Reese says, the blood of St. John sees that there's so few Catholics left, and the height of his great apostasy, that they all fit in one church, all in one place. Here we are. Here we are. Here we are. All right? That's one of the prophecies that is being fulfilled, not the only one. But you've got to look for all the marks of the church. She's one holy Catholic and apostolic. That means if the person is not holding the Catholic faith, I don't care if he's got the sacraments. I don't care if he's got a holy mass. If he don't got the faith, he's false. St. Augustine said that about the schismatics. You have a holy mass. You have the Holy Eucharist. You have baptism. You have this. But if you don't have the faith, you're not. You're outside the church and you're on the road to damnation. You have nothing. And you're actually, it's even worse because you're sacrilegiously using these things. All right? You clowns want to keep running around with these so-called nominal Catholics out there. Nominal, I always have to addendum, they're not true Catholics. They're apostates. They're heretics. They're effeminate. They're weaklings. They're non-judgmentalists. They're afraid of losing this world, their life in this world. They don't speak as I am, folks, and you know it. You got a choice to make, and you better make it soon. And don't mock God's grace, because if you're hearing this, let today be your day of salvation. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen.
You know, Richard, when you talked about how if there were good popes, they wouldn't need two witnesses.
Yeah.
Well, if there was good Jews at the time of Christ coming, they wouldn't need John the Baptist.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah, you're right. They wouldn't need, because he did. He was over here. He was over here. And he was preaching against a true pope even. You know, that's amazing.
Who was he yelling at the most? He was yelling at the church.
Yes, yes, the real church, the real pope, a real pope.
Yeah, and he was yelling, I mean, John the Baptist was yelling at the Sadducees and the Pharisees.
The leaders. That would, you know, that's a good example as far as how you can even oppose a true pope.
This recording was produced by Mary's Little Remnant, 302 East Joffrey Street, Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, 87901-2878. And can be accessed on my St. John the Baptist website at www.johnthebaptist.us.